Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, Combatants, to the Anything Combat Show, wherein we discuss everything mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Johnny K, and today we're joined by the president of the PFL. He's a New Zealander. He's a fight promoter. He was a kickboxer, boxer, martial artist of Samoan descent, six-time Muay Thai world champion, eight-time K1 Grand Prix tournament finalist. In kickboxing, he defeated many legends of the sport, many world champions like Jerome Le Banner, Stefan Leko, and Mark Hunt, to name a few. Widely considered one of the best heavyweight kickboxers of all time. Please welcome to the show, Ray Sefo. How are you, Ray?
Thanks for having me, Johnny.
All good. So I want to ask you about the PFL-Bellator merger. This is a real big milestone in MMA right now, and I want to ask you, is this a milestone in your career?
Obviously it's one of many, I would say, but it's definitely up to this time frame, if you will. It's definitely a milestone to be able to do something like acquiring the Bellator. And of course, we're very fortunate that was possible to happen because we have so many talented fighters and world champions from that side of the PFL league now, if you will.
So how does it all work? Does this mean that Bellator ceases to exist? I haven't really read up too much on it.
We're still keeping the Bellator brand alive. Obviously, there's a lot of fans that knows the Bellator brand. Even though it's under one umbrella, we're keeping both, PFL and Bellator operating. I think we have 8 Bellator shows this year, championship shows this year. Of course, then we have the PFL season, the pay-per-view side of things, as well as we have one other, which is the Challenger Series, which this year has been pushed back to later part of the year. We're definitely busy and, operating all on eight cylinders, if you will.
What do you think about the Bellator Ryzen co-promotion? Do you think that PFL might get involved and you can do a triple NIDA in Japan?
Those discussions are in process right now. That's definitely something that we would like to keep alive and have shows in Japan as well.
Let me ask you about Scott Coker. So seeing that he's the president of Bellator right now, is he going to continue at Bellator? And what have your dealings been like with him?
Scott Coker has been a friend of mine for over 25 plus years. The first time I met Scott Coker is when he came out to sanction one of my world title fights, which was against Andre Menard. It was ISK world title, and Scott Coker was the ISK rep at the time. And I think we're talking about back in 95, something like that. So I've known him since then, and not only he's a good friend, but he's a great promoter. He was obviously, he had his own thing going with Strikeforce. At one point, he was the K1 USA president. He ran, both MMA and kickboxing. Obviously, his last endeavor was Bellator. Scott is doing his own thing, moving on and doing his own thing. And I wish him nothing but the best. I mean... one thing for Scott is that he's always going to land on his feet, and he's been in the game a very long time and one of the best promoters in the world.
Ray, the transition between being a fighter and then going into being a promoter, what was that like for you?
It was actually quite easy. That transition was quite easy, but obviously there was a lot to learn on that side of things, you know. And thanks to Jim Branson, who is one of our partners and also head of our legal team, he's taught me a lot, you know, just about listening a little bit more than, you know, and then speak, and then finding, you know, obviously learning more about the business side of and understanding this business side, production, digital, and, you know, all the things that completes the signing of a fighter, what they bring to the table. Obviously, they got to know how to fight, right? So their marketability, who they are with, you know, what kind of background they have. So, yeah, the transition was easy, but obviously, you know, as you go, you learn on the job. And I found that very beneficial, if you will, understanding more more of the side of the business, and then putting those two together, it's a great combination. And of course, like I said, I've had to learn a lot of things as we continue to grow.
I'm in Melbourne right now. We're talking about that. You're in Las Vegas?
Correct. Yes.
So when did you start at one of the best teams in Las Vegas, Extreme Couture? When did you start there? Is that your main gym, would you say?
Yes, yes. So go back when it first opened, Jerry Ron had told me that the gym was opening. And I think I joined the team 2 months after the gym opened. And we've been there since. And we have an amazing team there, great coaches. great fighters. You know, we have a gym that's open to pretty much athletes from around the world, and so we get a lot of fighters from around the world that comes and trains with us, and of course that's beneficial in many ways because you get to see different looks, you get to see different strengths, and you get to learn a lot. So you know, the team, the coaches there, Eric Nixick, Nate Pettis, Dennis Davis, Danny Davies, you know, and many more. So it kind of reminds me of my team back home, you know, Balmoral Liga, where we were just a family that are there to help each other. And that's exactly the atmosphere that we have in Extreme Couture.
Friend of the show, Sadi Bou, he's been on twice now. He's at Extreme Couture, and he's also been very integral for the PFL. So I want to ask you, what's your dealings with him like, seeing that you've trained with him, and also he's been such a key, important, I would say, yeah, he's an axiom of PFL, seeing that he's been the champ. He's had so many good fights, so many good moments, so many things of his career, like the knockouts have gone viral, which has exploded the PFL.
First of all, I mean, he's just an amazing human being. He's a great guy. He's, in terms of him being an athlete, he's a complete professional. In terms of him being up to date with everything that PFL needs from him, a complete professional, like I said. But as a teammate, he is always helping, you know, the team grow. He's had, you know, some amazing moments in PFL. And of course, the biggest thing is now him going to 205. And, you know, he has the frame and he's a big guy. He's a tall guy. So making that transition, I think it's going to be scary for a lot of people because he's fast, he's strong. And, you know, he's so talented that he'll just pull something out of the bag and we go, okay, where did that come from? You know what I mean? But, yeah, I think the most of all is the fact that he's just a great human being and a great guy. And now an amazing father. You know what I mean? He's a family man. His son, I think he's 5, 6 months now. So, yeah, and he's just an all-around incredible human being.
Recently, I just had Mark Hunt on the show. So he spoke very fondly of you. What can you tell me about the fight that you two had together? I think you had multiple fights. And then what can you tell me about him being your friend, seeing that were you guys friends when you were fighting or were you friends after? How did that all work?
Mark and I knew each other. But we, I wouldn't say we were friends at the time. But that fight definitely bonded us. I have nothing but love and respect for Mark. I support him in everything that he does. Meaning that, you know, every now and then we text each other and, wish him luck and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you know, Mark is a, another great guy. From what I see, with him and his kids, he's a great dad as well. Mark is also a simple man. You know, he's what you see is what you get. I mean, with Mark, and that I always say that about myself. What you see is what you get, right? He's a down-to-earth kind of guy. He does his job, and he does it well. But yeah, no, nothing but love and respect for Mark, and I wish him nothing but the best.
There's a lot of options for Mark right now. They're saying that he might fight Mike Tyson, might fight Mike Tyrrell in the BKFC. They're also saying that now he might fight Mahmoud Char in boxing, in a professional boxing match. Do you want to see any of these?
Well, first of all, I seen something, you know, online, and I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. And do I want to see it? Yeah, I want to see every fight Mark has. You know, I've seen some of his boxing fights, and he's done great. But yeah, no, absolutely. Anytime Mark fights, I'll tune in for sure.
What do you think about Jake Paul, seeing that you've done some dealings with him with the PFL? That was an interesting point in the sport, seeing that Jake Paul, instead of going with Dana, seeing that Dana had some not so friendly words about him, he kind of chose the PFL over the UFC, which was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, Jake Paul is an outspoken guy. He sticks to his guns, and he wanted, you know, he met with some of our team, and he liked what he heard, and became part of our team. But again, he's one of these guys that a lot of people have underestimated, where, you know, he's done really well for himself. I believe he has a few things in the pipeline. And at some point, he wants to do an MMA fight. So when he's ready, we'll be ready.
So you would want to do that one with Nate Diaz, of course?
I don't know exactly if that's going to be the case. That would be great if it happens, but I believe I seen something online where Jake said he actually wants to box again. So I'm not sure exactly where those talks are, but, you know, when, like I said, if they're both ready and they both want to do that, then we'll be ready.
When did you know that you wanted to create a fight promotion? I know that you started, I believe it was the World Series of Fighting. So when did you first know that you were going to make that property?
So our first show was back in, I think it was November 2012. But about a year before that, I actually had, because I knew that K1 was coming to an end. And so I was, you know, I had written a few things down on paper, how I wanted to do the season, how I wanted to go about it. I wanted it to be something a little bit different. You know, I wanted it to be a league rather than just a promotion. And then, of course, the name came about, Wizards of Fighting came about. I was watching versus a poker one night. I was flipping through the channels, and versus a poker was on, and I was like, okay, that's the name of the, you know, that's the name of the league, versus a fighting. And that's how WSRF came about. And a few things happened, and it didn't allow myself and the team to start the season there. But sometimes certain things happen for a reason. And I feel like when Don Davis and the team came on board, I feel like the PFL is the way it happened and the time it happened. It was all about timing. And like I said, sometimes certain things happen for a reason. And maybe we weren't meant to have the season as part of WSOF. And so when PFL was formed and restarted, it was the right timing. It was the right people to kick off the season. And so, but yeah, it was really back in 2011, I started writing a few things down, how the season was going to be. And I pretty much kind of just took my experiences with K1, where we fought throughout the year to qualify for the top 16. And then the top 16 will fight off to qualify for the top 8. And then the Grand Prix, you fought 3 times in one night. And so I kind of took that format and put it into American Wear Sports, where there was a regular season, playoffs, and championship. And that was pretty much the birth of PFL, the season. But yeah, it was way back then, in 2011 or so.
What does that mean to you as the owner of it, that you chose to do a league over a promotion? What do you think are the benefits of having a league instead of these new promotions that are popping up?
Well, one is different, right? It's the first time that a MMA league's been put together. Two, it allows the fighters, what I hear a lot from fighters is that once the season is set, they know when they're fighting, how many fights they're fighting, and so on, which is one of the things that some fighters, I've heard a lot from fighters that they don't fight enough, or they fight once every 6 months kind of thing. So the season allows for them to compete. Obviously, there's 2 regular season fights. There's the playoffs and there's the championship. And most guys that come through the regular season and fought well, they'll end up in the playoffs. Or let's say one of the guys fought well in the first regular season fight and missed out on the second, then we'll put him as a super fight in the playoffs, that kind of thing. So, like I said, what I've heard a lot from fighters is that they're happy that they know exactly when they're fighting and where they're fighting and so on.
I'll give you a compliment, seeing that you've done something actually very good, which is the technology aspect of MMA. A lot of organizations have copied the PFL's format, especially with now that you have such a, I would call it crazy. It's crazy. The smart cage, the right. Cameras on the refs. It's a more like diverse, dynamic product. And I want to ask you, how important was the technology component when you were, drafting PFL, and what are you doing now to insert more tech?
You know, to be quite honest, I mean, that credit goes to Don Davis and George Greenberg, who's not only a partner but also a head of production and whatnot. Of course, add Pete Murray into that too. They're the ones that kind of really put it together and come up with it. So credit to them. But yeah, obviously, one of the biggest thing that Don wanted to put out was was more information, so that a new fan that kind of tuned in could understand the speed of the punches, what they're looking for in judging, and so on and so on. So thank you for the compliment, but that credit goes to George Greenberg and Don Davis and Pete Murray.
Every single fighter has a different answer to this one, but how much did you enjoy fighting when you were fighting?
I loved it. I actually really, you really understand when you're away from it, that that was, you know, part of your life. And you really understand how much it was part of my life and how much I enjoyed it when you're actually, when you actually are not doing it again. So yeah, I mean, obviously through anything in life, you got to work hard and there's a process. Sometimes there are ups and sometimes there are downs. And one of the, you know, obviously one of the biggest things in the fight world is the ups are ups and the downs are downs. You know what I mean? And but it's also a learning process of understanding that that goes in hand with the fight game. And so, yeah, no complaints whatsoever. I enjoyed every second of competition. Especially when you're competing against some of the best of the best. And so, all in all, it taught me a lot, not only in martial arts, but also in life in general. No, fully loved it, enjoyed it. And I appreciate it more now than I did while I was doing it, if that makes any sense.
Ray, what was going through your head when you fought a 7'2", 300? 50-pound Choi Hong Man. Can you tell me what was going on?
You know, the crazy thing is I've always been, you know, call me crazy or not, but I've always found that the bigger they were, the more I wanted to compete against them. The bigger they were, the more I wanted to fight these guys. I think it was more of kind of a personal challenge to myself that I could do it. But yeah, no, he's a big man, 7 foot tall, 360 pounds, I believe he weighed in at. I weighed in at 340, I think. 240, not 340, 240, and he weighed in at 360. But yeah, it was an experience, if you will. You know, he was a big man. I had to fully kind of there's a photo, I think it's online, where I fully overstretched about that high and it just touched his chin because he was so tall, you know what I mean? You know, everything in the fight game is an experience and a half that I'm very grateful for. Whether it was a loss or whether it was a win, you're always learning something.
For you, what does the PFL belt represent?
Well, it represents a champion. It represents legacy. It represents the company. It represents the individual achievements. It represents life, you know. When you look at fighters and there's so many fighters, for example, Jesus Pineda, who he's Peruvian, and he's the first, champion to come out of there and, you know, came up with a very hard life, like most fighters. And now he's a world champion and made over $1 million through the process of the season. It represents so many things about life and about the individuals that actually are able to achieve that.
What was your favorite K1 fight?
it doesn't matter where I go around the world. Everybody talks about the Mark Hunt fight. So it would have to be that fight. Even though there was a lot of great fights. I mean, you know, I did 110 pro fights and 4 amateurs. And the Mark Hunt fight would definitely have to be the one that stands out the most. And it would definitely have to be the one that taught me a lot about knowing people and about how two warriors can be in there battling it out and then realize later that and then became friends late, after the fact. I understood that in that fight, I took a piece of Mark and Mark took a piece of me, because you do, when you're out there battling like that, and that, in the South bonded us. And like I said, I will support Mark to whenever he retires, but nothing but love and respect for him. So, yeah, that fight has to be the one that stands out the most.
Do you think that you live your passion?
100%. I thank God every day that I'm blessed to do what I do. I'm blessed to do something that I love. I'm blessed to do something that I'm passionate about. And it's really true, the saying, you know, if you do what you love, it's not work. And so, like I said, I thank God every day for all the blessings in my life and, of course, my kids. But yeah, I am definitely living the dream where not only I've competed against the best of the best, won 6 world titles throughout my career, and then to be sitting where I am, yeah, I'm definitely doing what I'm supposed to do in life.
What do you remember from the 3 Ernesto Hoost fights?
He's a great champion. He's a legend of the sport. But it's funny because he and I were texting maybe 5 months ago or something like that. And I think I commented something on one of his posts. And I said, you know, you're a legend. You've been a great champion along those lines. And we were texting back and forth in, you know, direct message. And he said, I wish I'd done some special things like you did in the fight game. And that, you know, that was really, I mean, that was such an amazing thing to say. But what a compliment from a freaking legend like that. You know what I mean? And I said to myself, man, you've done some amazing things yourself. You know what I mean? So to hear that from not only a friend, but also another competitor of martial arts, it means a lot. It truly means a lot because, you know, Ernesto is, another guy that I have nothing but love and respect for. But to get those kind of compliments, it means a lot to me.
In the merger, there's so many great fights, champion v. champion. What would you say? Come on, you can't dodge this question. Which fight are you most excited for?
Okay. I'm actually really excited for the Bader versus Henry Ferreira fight. That's going to be a good one because they're both good strikers, but Henan is a big guy. I think Bader is the better wrestler. And you know, Henan's a black belt jiu-jitsu guy. So that fight, you know, it's still 50-50. It's still in the air. I think it depends on how... whether Bader can keep him on the ground or whether Henan can scramble, get back to his feet. So that fight, obviously the Johnny Eblen and Impa fight. Johnny, you know, most people, everybody that I've spoken to say that Johnny Eblen is probably the best middleweight in the world today. So, you know, that fight's going to be interesting, I think. And Johnny's trained with us from time to time here in Las Vegas at Extreme Couture. And so that's going to be an exciting fight. Jesus Pineda and Pitbull, I mean, you know, it's the class of titans. I mean, you know, both good strikers. I think they're decent. They're both good on the ground, but they both come to bang. Those 3 fights itself, I think it's the highlight of the night, but there's a lot of great, other great fights on the night as well. You know, there's Jason Jackson, versus Ray Cooper. Ray Cooper, you can't sleep on Ray Cooper. Ray freaking, you know, swings for the fences, and if he catches you, you're going to sleep. So, I mean, the list goes on. I think it's a great card. I think everybody should tune in, but I'm definitely going to be there cage side, so it's going to be a fun night.
A lot of the World Series of Fighting fighters went on to do amazing things. We've seen with even Azamat Dugulovgov, friend of the show, he became a very big coach. He's done great things. Luis Palomino's this amazing BKFC fighter. And your friend, Justin Gaethje, he's got the BMF and he's defending it up against Max Holloway. What do you think about that fight?
I mean, listen, they're both warriors. Justin is, I mean, like I said, they're both warriors, and I think they're going to both bring the fight. It's one of these things where, is it a five-round fight? It is, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, both of those guys not only have gas tanks for days, but also are very dangerous in what they do. And I think, obviously, the better kicker is going to be Justin Gaethje. In terms of hands, they're pretty even there. But in terms of volume, I would have to give it to Max Holloway. So, yeah, it's a 50-50 fight in that sense. So may the best man win. I like both guys. You know, Justin is a friend. Max Holloway is a friend. So I wish them both the best of luck, and may the best man win.
You've met Mike Tyson, Khabib, GSP. You've literally met everybody. So who haven't you met in the industry?
Who haven't I met? Oh, Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Ray Leonard. Like, one of my favorite boxers, but my favorite heavyweight boxer is Evander Holyfield. And he and I actually were guests for one of the magic shows here because I was sponsored by FUBU, and I think he was too at that point. This is when I was still competing for K1. And somebody posted something, and I commented on it, and I said, Evander Holyfield is my all-time favorite heavyweight boxer. And so he actually followed me on Instagram. I followed him back. I mean, I was already following him, and he just followed me back and just said thanks. And he sent me a direct message and said, thank you so much for the message and God bless. So that was this morning. So that was a nice highlight for the day. But yeah, no, one of the very few people that I'd like to meet one day is Sugar Ray Leonard. One of my favorite boxers also in the lighter weight divisions. I've met, Shane Mosley. I've met Roberto Durant. What's his last name again? I forget it. Yeah, it's Durant.
Yeah, it is.
Yep. And, but yeah, I've met a few, a lot of great athletes and great fighters. But Sugar Ray Leonard is the one that I haven't met yet. So one of these days I'm going to meet him somewhere.
Which has been your favorite PFL fight to date?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, there's been a lot of good fights, but the one, for some reason, the one that stands out, maybe because the spinning hook kick went viral worldwide, would have to be Sutterbull spinning hook kick. I mean, right now, that's the one that stands out. But yeah, there's been some great fights. But for some reason, that one is at the tip of my mind right now.
When did you link up with the Nurmagomedovs? I saw heaps of footage of you hanging out with them, as well as you had so many compliments for Khabib and what his father did in the sport as well.
I want to say 8-10 years ago. I met, obviously, because he was managed by another good friend of mine, Ali Abdelaziz. And that's how, I got to meet him. And then we had his cousin and also his younger brother that also fought for me at the time at WSOF, and cornered a few of his guys. For example, one of our champions, who's retired now, Mov Lee. So he, you know, he's cornered a few guys throughout not only WSOF but also PFL. again, another guy that just an all-round amazing human being, and committed to not only to his passion but also to the people that is in his life. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, no, Habib is got to be one of the best guys that I've met in terms of his belief, his religion, his family, his friends, his teammates. So yeah, nah, nothing but love and respect for Habib.
I know that Habib's brother fought in the PFL, but did Umar fight in the PFL?
Yes, yes.
How good is that guy?
Oh, he's amazing.
He's crazy amazing. Good.
Right? Yeah, no, I think the sky's the limit for him. And again, the, you know, that circle of guys and that all train together, not only, I mean, under Habib's guidance, but also Javier Mendez, who is a great coach as well. And yeah, no, I think all those guys are in good hands, and, you know, the sky's the limit for them.
I always do my research on everybody that comes on here. So I'm going to ask you about your kickboxing seminar that you did at the RCC Academy in Yekaterinburg, Russia. How did you get invited here, and what were you doing in Russia?
One of my students was fighting there. He's a heavyweight at the time, and when that fight was booked, I was asked if I would be willing to do a seminar. I'm like, okay, sure, why not? And so that's how that all came about. It's funny because one of the K1 events back in the day, they were looking to do a K1 event in Russia, and I wanted to be on that card. And unfortunately, I think none of the top 8, top 10 guys actually was on that card because it was a regional show. But I had always wanted to go to Russia, and that was my first opportunity to go when one of my students at the time fought there. And then they asked me to do a seminar also. So the whole experience in itself was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed every day that we were there. We were well looked after, so thanks to RCC and the team there.
How important was Japan in your career, like the fan base as well as fighting there for so long?
Japan is a very important part of my life. Obviously, you know, New Zealand, Japan, and the U.S., the three countries that are very dear to my life, because they all played a part in, I lived in, you know, those countries, and everybody played a part in my team here in the U.S. at Extreme Couture, my team in Japan with Kyokushin Karate, of course, my team in New Zealand, Liga. It used to be Liga Bermaro, but now it's, you know, I believe they moved. I forgot to ask Coach Lolo, but those three countries are very dear to me because they've all played a part in my life and where I am today.
Final question for today is, when you fought Crow Cop, did you know that you were going to retire from fighting? Because after you fought him, you did fight some MMA fights, but that was your final kickboxing match.
It was, wasn't it? I thought I fought one more kickboxing fight in Romania.
Let me Google that. Let me fact check it. You know, I can't get everything right all the time.
No. The reason why I said that is because not everything online is true. But you could be right. That being said, though, what was the question again? Did I know that was going to be my last kickboxing fight?
Yeah, Did you know that you're retiring after the Krokop fight? It says here it was 2012, March 10th. Did you know that you were going to retire from fighting after that? Because after you moved on and you did MMA fights.
No, I didn't know if that was going to be my last kickboxing fight. I took that fight, I think, 2.5 weeks notice. That was a funny one because I was in Brazil when that fight was offered to me. At the time, I was coaching Vitor Belfort. And he was actually getting ready to fight. He and Anthony Johnson were the main event in Brazil for that card. And Anthony rest in peace. It was during that time that I got called for that fight. And, you know, even though I didn't have a camp, so to speak, I wanted to fight because Krokop was probably the only other fighter that in the elite K-1 fighters that I hadn't fought. And so, and the promoter told me at the time that it was Krokop's last fight, which was a complete lie. But it is what it was, right? No. So the answer to the question is no. I didn't think, you know, retirement wasn't on my mind until after the fact. A few other things, you know, fell into place. I didn't really announce retirement. I kind of just said it was coming, but I kind of just, you kind of just knew because I got so busy with WSOF as well as, and then, you know, obviously PFL, but listen, I'm in the gym 6 days a week. So, and I still spar three days a week. You never know. If the offer is right, I might go and mix it up.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, Ray, for coming on the show. Is there any final remarks or maybe some words of advice you can give to the fans at home? Maybe someone might be struggling. What can you tell these people?
Well, first of all, thank you to all the fans. Obviously, not only fans of PFL, but MMA fans, kickboxing fans, the Combat World fans, because without them, what we do wouldn't be possible. So thank you so much to all the fans. Anybody that is struggling, find somebody that you know truly cares about you and talk to them. Speak out because, you know, a lot of times people tend to keep things inside. And so talk to somebody. There's a lot of helplines out there. If you want to keep it, you know, private, there's a lot of helplines. Find out in your region, whatever country you're from, there's a lot of people that are willing to help. There's a lot of good people out there that are willing to help and willing to listen. And last but not least, obviously, tune into PFL versus Bellator champions versus champions. That's going to be live from Saudi Arabia, 24th of February. And then, of course, the PFL global season will start April 4th, and that will go on till November, I believe. But again, Johnny, thank you so much for having me. The fans, nothing but love and respect. Thank you so much. Thank you, and God bless.
Follow Ray Sefo on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it.